Well, welcome. And I wanted to say to you all, Happy Mother's Day for those of you who have been blessed to be mothers. How lovely it is to celebrate and give thanks to God for our mothers today. But we're also conscious of people who haven't been able to be mothers, or people who have lost their mothers, or people who have had mothers who haven't been the best. And our hearts go out to you as you go through a time of challenge. I'd like us now to pray, and also pray for mums, but also to pray for us to hear God's word this morning. So let's pray. Our Father, thank you that it's Mother's Day today, and your day, the Lord's Day. And we thank you for our mums, especially those who have been good mums, those who have been faithful and godly mums. And we ask for those who are committed to Jesus, that they would be such a blessing to our homes, to our children, to our grandchildren. And Father, thank you for your wonderful word, your eternal word that we can look at today. We ask that you would help us to have open hearts to receive your word and to allow your Holy Spirit to teach us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm blessed to have a lovely mum. And I know that my mum has loved me and still loves me, which is good. And also a mum who has cared for me very well, right from the beginning of my days and even now. She still cares for me in a beautiful way. And over the past few years, being three of our own children who've married, we've had a wonderful occasion to meet up regularly with my mum and my dad and to have coffees together and just love and support and hang out together. And also we've had some great holidays together with my mum and dad. I remember going in 2018 to Cairns, 2017 to the Northern Territory, and in 2015 we went to the Kimberleys. They'd never been to the Kimberleys before, and Colin and I had been there, and we just wanted to take them and to see this fantastic country up there. And I remember having a sense of adventure, as you probably all know. Poor mum and dad, I took them on every rough road there was up there in the Kimberley. They were shaking to bits in the back of the car. And we went on helicopter rides and into gorges and all sorts of things. I'm sure they were totally worn out by the end of our holiday. But one story I'd like to share with you was when we went to Emma Gorge, which is at the Questro station. And that's probably our favourite gorge that we've ever seen. And I said to Colleen how it'd be a great idea to go to Emma Gorge, and she probably sort of deterred me from that because she thought, oh, I'm not sure if your parents are going to be okay with that. And that's because I forgot all about getting into the gorge. Anyway, I decided, nah, she'll be right. And we ended up going to gorge. We went on the rough road, four-wheel drive track, then across a river. So mum and dad were a bit worried about that one. Then we get to the car park, and I forgot all about that it's a 2K walk into the gorge, and it's uphill. So I thought, oh, well, that should be okay. But then as we were going along the walk, I began to remember what this walk was like. It's rocky, slippery rocks. There's streams you've got to cross. There's boulders you've got to climb over. And so mum and dad started walking along with us, and it didn't take long before mum thought, no way, I'm heading back. And I wanted my mum to come and see the beautiful gorge. And so I thought I need to walk with her, especially after she stumbled once. So I began to actually hold her hand and even had to carry her at spots in order to get across various obstacles. And finally, we made it to Emma Gorge. And let me just share with you what it's like. It's just a waterfall that comes straight over this cliff face into this circular pool with red rock all around and with this beautiful fernery in the rock. It's spectacular. It was worth it. But you know, as I was doing that for my mum, I couldn't help but think, this is what my mum would do for me when I was young. She would hold me, she would take hold of my hand to steady me, and she would carry me if need be as well. And I just couldn't help but think of, well, I've had a wonderful mum who has helped me, especially when I was young, and now I'm returning the favour to her. But why am I sharing this? Well, when I think of mums, I can't help but see with our mums, good mums, that they are a beautiful picture of our God himself. There's some beautiful scriptures that speak about the very heart of God towards his children, even us who believe in Jesus. And this morning, or whenever you watch this, we're going to look look at some great passages from the book of Isaiah that speaks about the heart of our God. We're going to be looking at some verses in Isaiah chapter 46, Isaiah chapter 49, and then back to Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to see that our God is so good to us. And in fact, we can even say he is better than the best mum that has ever lived here on earth. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 46. And just before I read these verses, I want to say to you that all these verses that we're going to look at today are written specifically for Israel under the Old Covenant. But I'm also going to tell you that under the New Covenant, if we have turned to Jesus, these words are still true for us, even more so, because the New Covenant is greater than the Old Covenant. We can apply these words that we are going to read today to ourselves if we are in Jesus. So let's read verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah chapter 46. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I will be the same. And even to your graying years I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. To me, the word that stands out in that passage is the great God who carries us. He carried Israel. And I want to say that's exactly the picture that we are meant to have too if we are in Christ. God is the one who carries us. And to say that he carries us means that he doesn't abandon us. He doesn't forsake us. He carries his people. I love the reference that our brother Rod Manton spoke on last week from Psalm 9. Do you remember verse 10 of Psalm 9? And Rod mentioned this verse. In verse 10 it says, "You, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." God's not a forsaking God. And we also have that great truth in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "He himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." What a promise. True for Israel and true for us who are in Christ. So instead of forsaking us, what does God do? In the words of Isaiah chapter 46, he carries us. He carries us in his great arms, in his loving arms, in his everlasting arms. When I think of the everlasting arms, can't help but think of that beautiful verse in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. And Moses writes there, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." You know, we all know it's a lovely picture to see a mum embracing her child, holding in her arms her child. But that's the very picture that God wants us to have of him. This is our Father. This is the Father of our Lord Jesus. He has wonderful arms that wish to embrace us and to hold us to him. And why does God have such a heart for us? I think we can pick this up in Isaiah chapter 46. In verse 3, it mentions that Israel was born by God. God gave Israel birth. And because of that special connection between God and Israel, God saw Israel as his child. And that's why he carried Israel through all its days. And we can relate to that. God has given us birth. But we're not just thinking of our physical birth here. We ought to be thinking of our spiritual birth. Once we were dead, we were lost, but God found us. God gave us birth, rebirth, new birth. We were born again. When we came to Jesus, when we called on Jesus to save us, when we committed our life to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord, on that very day, we were born into God's family. We became his child, his precious child. And that's why God has such a heart for us. That's why he carries us. He carries us so well. Let me read to you from John chapter 1, 12 and 13 about our birth. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. We're born of God through Jesus, and that's why God carries us. And I love verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 46. It says, even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. Do you love that reference to how long God carries us? Even to when we're grey and old. He carries us through all our days. Now, if Bob was here, I reckon he'd be saying, amen, brother. That's exactly right. People who have lived long in the faith know how true this is. God never forsakes us. He's always carrying us. That's how great our God is. He carries us in his everlasting arms, in his great arms. And I'm going to share with you how there are times when we feel that God isn't carrying us. There are times when we feel that God has forsaken us. Especially when we go through really difficult circumstances and trials. But it's not the truth. God has promised he will never forsake us. He will always carry us. And of course, this reminds me of that beautiful poem called Footprints. You remember how Footprints goes? Let me read it to you. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord across the dark sky, flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testing. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And that poem called Footprints really captures the heart of Isaiah chapter 46. It captures the heart of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who carries all those who come to faith in Christ, even us. Let's now consider another great passage in Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 49. Just a few chapters on. And we read in verses 14 to 16 these words. Isaiah chapter 49, 14 to 16. Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Wow, what words these are. Again, it's verses that help us comprehend the heart of God. These words were written to encourage Israel, to a people who were far away from God, a people who had rebelled against God, a people who had forsaken God. And here they have the audacity to say, in verse 14, that you have forgotten us, O Lord. What an untruth that is. God hadn't forgotten them. They had forgotten God. Because God never forgets his people. And it's the same for us in Christ. God will never forget you. He will always remember you. He has a great memory. And I love verse 15, especially where it says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? A question is asked. It's a very rare thing for a mother to forget her child, but it does happen. Well, God is saying, even if that be the case, I will never forget you. That's what it said. Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Yet people may forget us, and a mother might forget a child, but God will never forget us. Not ever. I remember a time when I was with my mum and my dad, and I think my brother John, I was only young, and we had gone to the Fremantle port to see my mum's parents off on a cruise. They were travelling to Singapore. And I remember being at the port, and I was just so fascinated with the size of this magnificent ship, so big, and also all the streamers between the farewellers and the passengers. And I must have been mesmerised by it, and I was just so taking it in, when suddenly I realised that my parents were not around me. They had taken off. They had left me behind. They had forgotten all about me. And there were lots and lots of people around me, and I became scared. I remember this terrible feeling of feeling lost and deserted, and I was starting to cry. But had my mum and had my dad forgotten me? No, it was just an accident. They hadn't forgotten me. How do I know? Because when they realised I wasn't with them, they searched everywhere to find me. How lovely it was to see them and to be embraced by them. They hadn't forgotten me. They cared for me. That's why they sought after me. And how much more God has done this for us. We're not forgotten by God. He's the one who's constantly seeking us, who cares for us more than we could ever imagine, because we really matter to God. We really do. Yeah, there are times when we think that God has forgotten us. There's all sorts of feelings that we might have and negative thoughts that we can wrestle with. But the truth and the reality is God never forgets any of his children. And I think that's something that we should really treasure. And you know, our God doesn't just forget us. The emphasis here in this passage in Isaiah 49 is that God knows all things and he knows your name. Your name is precious to him. In fact, your name is so precious to God that he has written it in the most special book of all, his son's book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what verse 16 is getting at too, when it says in those beautiful words, "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands." God is telling us that your name is special to me. I know you. I don't forget you. Your name is before me ever, for all time. And that's how we're meant to think of it. That's how, as Christians, we're meant to realize how special we are to God. And God knows us. He knows us by name. Of course, Jesus even taught us other things. God knows the number of hairs on our head. That's found in Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. It's not meant to scare us that God knows so much. It's meant to encourage us that God knows us so well. That's why he's able to care for us like no other. He's better than the very best mum. He cared for us. We're not forgotten by God. He cares for us so much that we ought to be encouraged to constantly pray to him. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." We ought to be so encouraged to pray because we have a Father who cares for us through his Son. Well, let's now turn to the next passage, the third passage in the book of Isaiah. And that's in Isaiah chapter 40 that we're going to go back to. We'll look at verses 10 and 11, but before I do that, let me also read verse 1. And Isaiah chapter 40 begins with these magnificent words, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God." Well, even those words, what a picture of our great God who is a God of comfort. And then we read in verses 10 and 11, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." Now, I love these particular verses, but I want you to remember that Isaiah chapter 40 is well known for a passage about the awesome power and majesty of God. For example, in verse 12 we read, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span?" God measures the heavens by the span of his hand. Or verse 15, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales." That's how small the nations are, considering who God is. And yet in this great chapter, so magnificent about the awesome God we love and worship and serve, it talks about God's tenderness. And I read those words from verses 10 and 11 that speak of the heart of God. God is a comforting God. God comforts his people. He comforted Israel of old. And even more so does he comfort us who have fled to Christ. I remember one of the words that the Lord Jesus used of the Holy Spirit is that when he would come, Jesus gave him the name Comforter, because God's Spirit has come into our hearts to comfort us. We are so comforted by God now that we are in Christ, even more than the people of old, like Israel of old. And what a comforting God he is. That great truth that God is the God of comfort is found also in the New Testament. I'd like to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles or afflictions." What a great New Testament verse about the God who comforts us. But how does God comfort us? And I particularly love the way it's put in verse 11 of Isaiah 40. I love the picture language. It says in verse 11, "Like a shepherd." So how does God comfort? Like a shepherd. "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes." I think it's so special for us Christians to have good pictures of our God. He is the great shepherd. And as a great shepherd, we are to picture him as the one who picks us up, us lambs and sheep, and he picks us up in his arms. And he leads us by the hand. Like a mother who picks up their child in their arms to hug them, like a mother who takes hold of the hand of their child and leads them, that's who our God is too, in a greater sense than any mother. These pictures of God are priceless. This is the God we have come to be reconciled to through Jesus, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know how you feel about all these things, but I love taking in who our God is. I love appreciating him and coming to understand who God is more and more. On this Mother's Day, how good it is to reflect upon the great heart of God. But you know, I just want to say too that Isaiah chapter 40 is there's a special change that occurs in the book of Isaiah from Isaiah 40 onwards. Do you know what that change is? There is such a great focus upon the promised one coming into our world. From Isaiah 40 onwards, there are some fantastic prophecies concerning the Messiah, concerning the Christ. And Isaiah chapter 40 verse 1 about God comforting us was especially fulfilled when Jesus came into our world. And verses 10 and 11 are even actually in reference to Jesus. Do you notice that these verses are in the future tense? Let me read it to you again. And be mindful of Jesus as I read these words. "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." When did this really happen in fulfillment? In fullness. It happened when Jesus came. Verse 11. "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock." Who was that? Who are you reminded of? Yes, God the Father, but especially Jesus. In his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will, look at this, the future tense, he will gently leave the nursing ewes. These verses are about Jesus, who God the Father sent into our world to comfort us people, so that we might not be friendless, that we might have God as our great friend, Jesus, the lover of our soul. This is what God has done for us in Christ. What comfort we have. Not only have we been forgiven of our sins, not only have we been made right with God, but Jesus has scattered fear and gloom from our hearts and hopelessness. This is what Jesus came to do, to comfort us who are his people. And as I think about these things today, I just want to finish by reading some really special verses from the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, just picking a few different verses from that great chapter, listen to these words concerning Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus did that, that we might have eternal comfort. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Like we saw in Isaiah 49, Jesus knows us. He knows our name. He knows us so well, and we have come to know him. And then those magnificent verses of 27 to 30, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Behold God's great arms, arms of great love, arms that hold his people in an embrace so special. And behold God's great hands, hands that have taken hold of us, hands that will never allow anything to happen to us. Nothing can happen to us. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. No one can snatch us out of the Jesus' hands. How safe and secure we are, because we have a God who loves us so much, more than a mother could love. The Father and the Lord Jesus love us so much. And on this Mother's Day, may we not only give thanks to God for our mothers, but give thanks to God for who he is, what he is to us, how he treats us so well, even though we don't deserve this, even though he's so gracious to us. May we be filled with thanks and praise to our God. We are carried, we're not forsaken. We are cared for, not forgotten. We are comforted, we're not friendless. Oh, praise his name. Let's now give thanks to God. Let's worship him in prayer. Our Father, as we come now, we don't come to request so much, but to express to you our adoration and appreciation of your great, great heart for us. Help us to take it in. Help us to battle the negative thoughts that can fight against us. Help us to realize that you are for us, that you have such a great love for us. We thank you that you are the great God who has promised to carry us and care for us and comfort us. Even though we have been sinners, even though we have been rebels, thank you for your amazing love and grace toward us. And we ask, Father, that we would respond by loving you in return, that we would embrace you, that we would hold your hand well, that we would be people who delight in you and worship you with all our heart. Our Father, thank you for your great Son who you sent into the world. We thank you for Jesus, who is the exact image of you, perfectly you. And we thank you for how he showed us what a great God you are. And of course, we just thank you for Jesus coming into our world and revealing you to us. But we thank you especially for how he has reconciled us to you, to the awesome and most best God, the only God, the true and living God. We are so delighted to be your children and to be loved by you. Thank you, Father, for these beautiful verses that we've been able to look at today. May you minister to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I hope you enjoy listening to and singing along to our last song, which is In Christ Alone. And particularly pay attention to the fourth verse, the last verse you'll sing. You'll notice that it mentions John chapter 10 in that closing verse. Thank you.